And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
Haven't heard that theme in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Linda is with us for another Thursday food and dining program, but we missed her last week. She was fooding in Boston.
Lots of lobster.
Very nice. Lobster rolls.
Mm-hmm. Whole lobsters.
Well, that's the place. So today we'll learn more about the agricultural breadbasket of Miami-Dade. It's called the Red Lind, without an S.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that.
And we'll learn about someone who's been part of that history for nearly 60 years.
Right. Well, it's great to be with you. Have you been to Robert Is Here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, for those who don't know what it is, it's a farm stand that's an institution. It's part of tourist attraction. It's part gateway to the agricultural red land. And yes, there is a Robert. And his name is Robert Moling. He's here to tell us his amazing story. He started the stand and about the thousands of visitors that go there each year. So let's welcome Robert Moling.
Good afternoon. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. We have a cornucopia here.
Oh, my.
Beautiful colors.
Gorgeous.
It's just all the things he's brought for us. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions or maybe comments for Robert Is Here? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Email is radio@WLRN.org.
And, of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. You can also read his wine column that is in the Saturday food section of the Miami Herald. Hi, Fred. What are we drinking today?
Well, I'm going to talk about wine for all those veggies. Would you believe Zinfandel with zucchini?
Well, maybe we will. We'll find out. Okay, Robert Moling, you started Robert Is Here when you were 6 years old.
Yeah, actually, it was my dad who stuck me out on the corner. He had a problem. His cucumbers hadn't sold a week prior, and he had no money to buy boxes for the next harvest. He went to the broker. No, we didn't sell them, and we're going to dump them. We just don't have nothing to do with them. And my dad needed those boxes back. So he said, I'll come and get my cucumbers back, so I could dump them out and use the boxes over again. So that's what he did. And the following Saturday, which was a day or so later, he stuck me on the corner to maybe raise a couple nickels for...
A nickel a cucumber.
Just whatever he could raise. He was dead broke.
And did you get enough to get the boxes?
Absolutely. Nobody stopped.
Oh,
wow. The day he put me out there. He used the used boxes to harvest the second crop. But the next day, my mom and dad, apparently for the Sunday market, putting me out there, they decided maybe the drivers by didn't see me. So I put up two signs that simply told the world that I was there.
Robert is here.
And I sold out and walked home. When you go to marketing class at the university, if you want to make a statement that asks a question, that's the hit. If you can make a statement that asks a question. My dad was a broken down farmer, and he simply said, Robert is here, as a statement. But it makes you a question. What's that?
Yeah, who's, you know, Robert?
So people stopped, and the little six-year-old kid out there. You know.
And the rest is really kind of history. But for those who haven't been there, now, I mean, you grew from a little stand where your family was practically, well, they were broke, to this enormous business. Tell us, what does it look like now?
Well, we do it still old school. I still add up on a paper bag like I did the first day, because I had already learned my basic
math. Okay, at 6 years old.
There wasn't many items the first day. But as I went back every weekend with my signs, other farmers would bring me stuff. And you talk about really neat selling stuff that you didn't have to pay for, and we got to keep the funds from it, and that really helped us out.
They were bringing you their excess.
They bring me corn.
Uh-huh.
It's just, if you see a kid on the side of the road, especially if you are a farmer.
A cute little six-year-old. Here, please buy my stuff.
Yeah, and I really, it was just, I was amazed how easy it was, because it was like a gimmick, but it wasn't a gimmick.
So they thought it was like a kid with a lemonade stand.
Right, yeah, right. But we were really hurting.
So, but no, but you grew it. With that stand, you were able to grow the business, buy more land.
Buy more land. My dad passed away very early. He died at 48 years old from leukemia.
Oh, dear.
And in 1960, we had Hurricane Donna. He lost part of his land because he couldn't pay for it. It was a teeny tiny amount of money for 5 acres of land. I think he paid $400 an acre, and he couldn't pay the mortgage on it. So that's how bad he was.
Well, I can't imagine what that 5 acres would be today.
I bought it shortly after he died. It came for sale, and I paid $7,500 an acre. And then I bought land behind it where I built my house, and I just kept on buying little pieces of land. The first piece of property I ever bought, I was 14, and I bought a 10-acre piece right down the street, and I still own that, too.
Yeah. Okay, but now, if you go down to the Redlands, and you said it's just at the corner of 192nd and...
192nd Avenue and 344th Street on route to the Everglades National Park. It's
and this huge, now it's a big, huge fruit
Well, yeah,
stand.
we've really
You're
got...
You're not a little boy on the corner anymore.
Yeah, I got my grandkids there. All of my 4 children come back from college, and they're all back with us. My daughters-in-laws, both of them.
They're all there.
They're all here.
So now, I was just told that you sell something like 1,500 milkshakes a day.
And a weekend, we
and
can
a weekend?
Do more than that. And it's just
so
incredible.
So I want to know, what's the recipe here?
Well, I want to just say that Melissa wrote in. She said, the girls and I in the office love to go to Robert's and get shakes during our lunch break. Warm regards, Melissa.
Okay, Melissa, we're going to get the recipe right now.
Okay.
What's the recipe for these shakes that make them so popular?
We use fresh fruit.
Uh-huh.
We never puree it ahead of time. It's left in its whole form, unless it's a liquid like key lime juice or orange juice. And we use the fresh orange juice. Fresh fruit thrown in the ice cream and then puree it in the ice cream. And
so the fresh fruit pureed in the ice cream. So but what's about the proportion to proportion? Well,
oh,
first
my
of
goodness.
All, this fresh fruit has to be really, really ripe by the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Proportion-wise,
yeah.
Believe it or not, I don't know those. I worked in there one day, and it was so hard. I vowed I would never work in there again. So my girls and boys that work in there, it's like grandma's recipe. You pour it in, go.
It depends.
You know, I know there's
is it vanilla? What kind of ice cream is it?
It's a vanilla soft serve like you'd buy at Dairy Queen. Yeah.
Oh, it's a soft serve.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, I think another reason for your success is I was buying some avocados at your stand one time, and you asked me when I was going to use them, and I said, I need some for tonight, some for tomorrow night, and some for 3 or 4 days from now. And you were able to just poke your finger at a few avocados and give me each one that was perfectly ripe at the day and time I needed to use it. But I could never do that.
Yeah, well, as of today, I got 56 years of practice. And if you don't get it right after 56 years, you
don't get it. You don't get it.
But it's pretty basic, you know, once you learn, you know, by your own, because I love avocados and I know when to eat them. Mangoes, I'm really hooked on.
Now, I want to go over this, the fruit. Let's talk about the fruit you've had in the studio, because some of it is a bright
yeah.
purple, red purple
color.
Well,
that color. Bright purple
And then,
one.
Then we have an orange color.
Yeah.
So tell us.
The bright purple one is called a pitaya.
Pitaya.
Also known as dragon fruit.
Oh.
They have a white colored one. Now, the white colored ones are a little
skin.
Less flavorful.
No.
The purple ones are just tremendous. It's not overpowering. You eat the seeds and all. You don't even know they're seeds. Kind of like a kiwi.
It's very soft and all. And Joe's
and
eating it right
sweet.
Now. And he doesn't know that it stains.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I got napkins there somewhere for you. But the bright orange one is our papaya. We just started harvesting papaya.
I'll try that too.
But your papaya tastes... Sometimes... Papaya has something what I call a soapy kind
yeah.
of flavor. What is that?
When you bring them from the imported
right.
parts of the world, rather than local, they refrigerate them. And papaya hate to be refrigerated. And you can cool them when they're dead ripe and eat them the next day. It's okay. But when you pick them not quite ripe and cool them, it puts a little bitterness to it And sometimes it generates a smell that people don't like, you know?
Yeah.
But these are good.
I saw on your website that you just reopened today.
Today, my crew, my two boys, and one of my daughter-in-laws is taking it to care of the ship.
And so, you had renovations?
Oh, yeah. We paint every year and clean, and we put in our new vegetable farm. We got broccoli, collard greens, cabbage, green tomatoes that never turn red.
Ooh, yeah.
Incredible. And I got Brandywine tomatoes. The green tomatoes are called.
And they're good fried, of course.
No.
No.
You eat them when they're red, when they're soft.
I see.
Right. And I want to talk about this.
The most incredible tomato flavor of any tomato.
Hmm. Yeah. Right, it's fabulous. But there's something green there that I had no idea.
That's a guava.
Uh-huh.
That's an Asian guava. This is the China white. And when you eat the guava,
really crunchy.
You eat the skin at all.
He's eating like
the
an
skin's
apple.
The best part.
Oh, you
now
do eat
I
the
put
skin.
This up on the web, on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
I'm holding something that is amazing here.
This, to us that live down here in South Florida, we generally have a house with this as our landscape. It's called a Monstera Deliciosa. And the green kernels will fall off of it when it's ripe. And you throw the green kernels away. And you eat the white fruit on the inside.
That is amazing.
The white fruit
is
almost
sweet.
Like a banana and a sweetness. Yeah. And it's something I realized. I've got this in my yard. I mean, all of us. What is it, a philodendron?
Philodendron, yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's just amazing. Before we go to break, do you have a quick question?
Yeah. Robert writes, I'm proud to say I not only have known Robert for decades, but I helped educate at least two of his sons. His kids were always modest, hardworking students, often ended up at the top of their class. Thanks, Robert, for your focus on pure, wholesome foods and quality of produce.
Well, thank you for listening.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Robert Pike.
Bob Pike.
Well, on that note,
I'm not a name.
You'll think about it.
Yeah.
You're not a name. You should have just listened to our last.
Okay, so we'll take a break and he'll think about it.
Okay,
we're talking with Robert is here, owner Robert Moling. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we'll take a short break and be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Robert is here owner, Robert Moling. He's been telling us the story of his famous produce stand and feeding us with these wonderful, wonderful produce he's brought with us. Robert has a book called, well, guess what? It's Robert is Here.
Robert is Here. Yeah.
And yes, and he's going to be at the Miami Book Fair this November 22nd, that's Sunday, at 3:30. So come and see him. And also, next weekend, November 14th and 15th, at Robert is Here in the Redlands, he's going to have a book signing, and his man who wrote the book with him, Cesar Becerra, yes, is going to be there as well. And I'll bet there's going to be lots of milkshakes down there.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. By the way, I'm also going to be at the book fair, so come and see me. I'll be there on Saturday, the 21st, from 3 to 4, and I'll be cooking up a storm on Sunday, the 22nd.
What are you cooking?
From 2 to 3. From my nine new books from
I know that, but
I'm going to make a chili.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and also a curry chicken
a turkey
salad.
Turkey chili.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's from my books for the American Diabetes Association. So go to the fair website and look up everything that's going on at the fair. Meanwhile, let's talk about dinner in minutes. And this is going to be an onion, pepper, and mushroom pizza. It's faster than sending out, and it's very easy on your pocketbook. So you want to begin with a thin crust pizza base, which you can buy in the store. Now, really thin ones were great. I line a baking sheet with foil. That's to save cleanup. And I put the pizza base on the foil. And then I put some sliced tomatoes, maybe some of those wonderful ones coming out of Robert is Here, those heirloom tomatoes on it. And then I put a little oregano. If you can get fresh oregano, that's even better. Some mozzarella slices over the tomatoes. Some mushrooms over the cheese and bell peppers and onions. Now, the order of how you place them on is important because that's how it'll cook faster. So you want something to takes a little longer to cook, the onions and all, you put them on the top layer. And I put that in the oven, 400 degrees, and in 15 minutes, you've got your pizza. Have a large salad with it, and it's simple and easy. That complete recipe, it's on my website, That's dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And Fred Tasker, you told me I'm going to have, what, zucchini with Zinfandel?
What am I having? Yes, wine with vegetables is my assignment. Linda always makes it as hard as she can on me. So we'll see
if
I'm
up to it. But we love you anyway, Fred.
I could take the easy way out and say pair the wine with the meat and let the veggies tag along behind, but that would be too easy. And there are lots of vegetarians and vegans out there who don't do meat. Right, Bonnie?
Right.
Now, that's true, especially now that the food police have outlawed bacon and ruined the rest of Joseph's life.
That's right. Exactly.
Anyway, these days, with it, wine writers have to be up on wine matches for all vegetable main courses for vegetarians. And we can't use the old crutch of slathering everything with cheese to create wine pairings because that wouldn't work for vegan. But still, this can be done. Vegetables are often mild in flavor, so you can match the wine to the spices and herbs in the dish. A few years ago, I wrote about a vegan Tamarack couple who held a Seder and served a nice rolled roast of tofu. And it was scented with sage and rosemary, so I could recommend a nice Sauvignon Blanc that had equal herbal flavors. Now, spicy veggie dishes like meatless chili or Tex-Mex black bean tacos or Thai veggie stews with zingy bird's eye chilies want a slightly sweeter wine, just as a spicy meat dish would. So a lightly sweet Riesling or Chenin Blanc would be nice. Now, if you want to build a veggie dish around a red wine, you can do that too. Not, of course, a bombastic Cabernet Sauvignon, but more likely a softer, easier wine like Pinot Noir or Shiraz. And you can serve that with a rich lasagna made of vegan cheese, mushrooms, squash, in a rich tomato sauce. And the same thing is true, of course, with a big, meaty, grilled portobello sandwich, with or without that slice of American cheese product. Or even better, when Thanksgiving arrives, which won't be long, you could serve that soft red wine with your delicious tofurkey. And this is all so healthy that now you can combine an all-vegetable diet with that one or two glasses of wine that doctors say are good for you, and you'll probably live forever.
Happily. Fred Tasker, thank you very much. Great advice as always. Now, there is one more product here that we haven't been tasting, and it's the white one.
Yes, with the seeds?
With the seeds.
That is the best.
Yes. What is that?
What is
that's
that?
An Asian guava. This is called the China White. It's originally from China, grown here in South Florida. It's one that I don't grow those. They have to bloom on the tree, and you cover it with a bag before it gets just when it sets.
I wonder why you can't see because it's not television, but he's building the bag with his hands and he's showing us how it's done.
And then,
so I guess they're expensive with that much individual attention.
Well, they tend to get really wormy if you don't cover them with the bag, and when you bite into them, you have worms all through guavas.
What does it look like when it's whole? Because we just had the slices of it.
You know what chayote squash is?
Yeah, it almost looks like a pear.
Oh, okay.
It's green.
Or a
it
big
almost
pear.
Looks like a pear.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about the one that this came from?
No, that is guanabana.
Ah.
Okay, that's right. That's the guanabana is the so, guanabana. That's what she's talking about, how delicious
okay.
it is.
The guanabana has little black seeds
it's
in it.
It's also known, I think, as soursop.
Soursop.
Yes, right.
Yeah. In Jamaica, they call them soursop.
Uh-huh.
It has properties that are incredible. It kills cancer cells in humans at a rate of 1,000 or more times than chemotherapy.
That's without the seed.
Yeah.
Guanabana. Where's it from?
We grow them here. Doesn't like to grow here. Our cold weather tears it up. But
what cold weather?
I don't know. Some years we have cold. Last year it was easy on them. But right now we're able to import them from Grenada. That's the only country they let them come from.
Oh.
Grenada doesn't have any medflies. And we're having a problem right now at Oriental fruit fly from other imported fruit.
So importing the fruit is what brings in the pests.
Yeah, afraid so.
Right.
But the guanabana, the tincture, which is a concentrate once a day under your tongue, is just bombards stop, your body with the whatever it is. I'm not a chemical.
Right.
But it's just wonderful flavor. In my mind, I think it's the best tasting fruit of any fruit grown.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It reminds me of lychee a little.
A little bit, yeah.
All of these are just delicious. Someone's waiting on the phone. Bill in Marathon, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. Robert, this is Dried Mango Bill Summers.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hello there. Haven't seen you for 2 years. I heard you're going to be on this program.
Well, I'm glad you called.
We only have a minute left, so did you want to say something else?
Yeah, okay. Well, in the case that a big shout out, a hearty hello. Also, you still have the zoo in the back. It's not really a zoo, but, you know, the farm animals.
We have our farm animals, yeah.
You know, the children bring families out to your place because it's not just a matter of getting milkshakes and, you know, wonderful fruit, but, you know, it's a day out. It's an adventure.
Yeah. It's my family enjoying your family, and I love it.
Okay, well, and that's true. Thank you so much for your call, Bill. There's a lot of attractions going on there. You have music every week, and this next weekend coming up, you have your book signing, and of course the milkshakes, because today's your opening day. So, you know, hop on down there, and you'll have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for bringing all this
indeed
fabulous
thank you
food
our pleasure
here.
It was really delicious.
Get
Robert,
you out.
Robert was here.
It's an aura. Robert always is here. Yeah. No matter where he's at.
Okay. And the stand is his stand. It's more than a stand. It's his huge farm stand is located at 192nd Avenue and 344th Street. That's at the en route to the Everglades National Park.
Yes.
And so come on down. It's in Homestead. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joe Cooper and Bonnie Berman, you ate well today.
We certainly
nice
did.
Thank you.
Well, next week we're going to be talking about the Urban Oasis Project here with Art Friedlich. And I'm Linda Gassenheimer. So join me then.